I don't know if anything can top this music we just heard, other than hearing how God is working in the world to bring men and women, boys and girls to His marvelous Savior, Jesus Christ. And what I want to do for you today is to show you how God's Word is unbounded by time, by geography, by culture, by anything. A young man named Joplin Emberson received a testament when he was 16 years old at a high school. His life had spiraled out of control after that. He got involved with drugs and alcohol and hard living. By 20 years old, he was a wasted young man. He contemplated suicide, and while he's lying on his bed, this thought came to him. It was, what if hell is real? What if hell is real? So he decided that he was going to pick up that testament and read it. He didn't believe in God, he didn't believe in heaven or hell, but he figured he would read it. And he came to Matthew chapter 7 where it says, ask, it shall be given to you, seek, and ye shall find, knock, and it shall be opened to you, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him who knocketh it shall be opened. Joplin thought that was the craziest thing he had ever read, because you see, he saw himself in that term, everyone. That was him. He gave God 30 days to convince him that he was real. And you know, God worked a lot quicker than that. He decided to go to his home church. He walked in there and everybody gave him the stink eye, you know, because he was a pretty rough-looking kid. So the next week he decided to go to a church he'd never been to before. And he walked in, he had the baggiest jeans you can imagine. We've seen a number of those in this area, haven't we? And a football shirt, his hair was long and unkempt, and he had a tongue ring. But you know, some 72-year-old woman came up to him and said, is this your first time going to this church? He said, yes, ma'am. She says, I hope you come back again. The next week he came back and he heard a preacher preach a message that touched him with its love, compassion, its boldness and fire for Christ. Joplin came under conviction of sin and turned to the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. As his life progressed, he turned to full-time Christian ministry, and now Joplin is a church pastor. And he enjoys seeing the lives changed like his was changed as a result of the gospel message. You know, the story of Joplin is the story of the Gideon ministry. And it's the story of the church's mission. Because, you know, these are one and the same. What happens is Christian business and professional men in churches, just like this one, decide to join the Gideons. Their pastor recommends them and approves them. And then they go out and associate with other like men for service. They faithfully went to that school and handed out scriptures to those kids. Those scriptures were paid for by a church just like this one. God's Spirit led Joplin into a crisis. He led him to a church, and there a faithful woman gave him encouragement, and a faithful pastor lifted him up, gave him the gospel even more powerfully, and he was saved. A soul was made alive in Christ, and that soul now is out there spreading the gospel message. And the point I want to make to you is the Gideon ministry is the ministry of the church. We're not a separate organization. I'm a member of a church. All our guys are members of a church. You can't be a Gideon without being a member. And so we go out into your local community and witness for Jesus Christ and place and distribute God's Word. You know, since the first Bible was placed 107 years ago, the American Christian Church has embraced the Gideon ministry as their ministry. Your efforts are reaching into your hotels right around the corner here, your schools, Mount Vernon, Edison, Hayfield. We're going to Lee High School just this coming Wednesday. And others, T.C. Williams. They're going into your doctors and dentist offices. Our wives, who form our auxiliary, go into all your doctors and dentist offices. And they're out there every month doing that. We go to clinics and battered women's shelters. And to our servicemen and women here at Fort Belvoir and at the Pentagon and other places. You see, the Gideon ministry is a seed planting ministry. We spread the Word of God in the highways and byways of life, knowing what God promises in Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but will accomplish that which I please, and prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. These seeds are only available because the church, God's people, you, believe that the Word of God can transform souls. Acting on this belief, men like myself join, people like you give, you pray for the ministry, and God's Word goes out there and accomplishes great things. In 1940, 75 years ago, a Gideon from Honolulu was led to contact the chief of chaplains for the Army and the Navy, seeking permission to give soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines copies of God's Word. The Gideon's International approved a program to give a copy of God's Word to every incoming serviceman. It started in 1940. The first testaments were given at Pearl Harbor 15 months before the Japanese attack on that base. It was that initial effort that led to the placement of scriptures like this in our schools and colleges and all these different areas of distribution, so that now we've placed over 1.6 billion copies around the world. As you know, the ability of American Gideons to place scriptures in our schools, to go into the classroom and give them to our students, has largely disappeared as our culture has changed. But we found a way to overcome our culture, and we've created a program called the Life Book. The Life Book is this little book shaped in the size of a CD case. In fact, it's almost exactly the size of a CD case. And what we do is we offer these free of charge to pastors and youth pastors to give to their school students to go into their schools and do peer-to-peer distributions in the schools. Since we started this a few years ago, we've passed out over 13 million scriptures in our schools, inside the schools, in peer-to-peer distributions. The wonderful thing is not only are we getting the Word of God in the hands of our students who need to know the Word of God, otherwise we're going to lose another generation. If we don't get them in the hands of students, another generation of Americans will grow up not knowing God. And we can see the results of that in our culture. But also we're training our youth to be evangelists, to be able to give a copy of God's Word and maybe then explain what's in it to their friends. Now, if you want to know more about the Life Book, we have a website, www.thelifebook.com. So just one word, thelifebook.com. And again, we offer these free of charge to pastors and youth pastors to give their kids. In 1 Corinthians 3:6, the Apostle Paul explains how he planted the seed, how Apollos watered, but that God gives the increase. Now I ask you a question. How long can it be before, when a seed is planted, before it starts to germinate and bear fruit? Well, it can literally take decades. The mother of Charlene Harata of Hawaii was living in Japan in Hiroshima when the atomic bomb went off. Her and her brother were both injured, and they took a long time to recover. After they recovered, they decided to move to Hawaii to be with her father and the rest of her family. During this period, an American serviceman gave her a testament, the mother. Her and her husband were both Buddhists, so she just put it away, but kept it all those years. As she was coming to the end of her life and about to die, she pulled out that testament and gave it to her daughter, Charlene. Charlene was a Christian, so she figured, well, you're a Christian, you should have a Bible. Charlene opened up that testament and led her mother to the Lord Jesus Christ. She died. A few years later, Charlene's father got Alzheimer's, and he expressed to her that he would really like to be with his wife when he died. And so she pulled out that testament again, praying that in his mental state that he would understand the gospel, and he did. And he, too, came to saving faith in Jesus Christ. So here's a testament that started maybe 30, 40 years earlier, given to a Japanese woman, laying fallow for all those years, and then decades later coming to open up and germinate and bring the Word of God and salvation to these two Japanese people. How was that Bible given out? How are any of these Bibles given out? Well, first of all, through your faithful giving and your quarterly offerings and on the generous check you've given us today. But there's other ways you can do this throughout the year. We have a program called the Gideon Card Bible Program. And we have these cards that you can send in memory. If someone dies, you can send a card in memory and donate Bibles for placement here and around the world. We have a Praying for You card. If somebody's sick or in trouble, you can pray for them and send a card, but at the same time, donate Bibles for placement. on your special day. We all have special days. We have birthdays for Bob, and we have anniversaries and graduations and weddings and all these kinds of things. What way to celebrate those things but to send a card that expresses your concern, at the same time placing a Bible or two or ten or a hundred, whatever many you want to do, in their name. Another way you can do it, if you don't like the cards, we have a little card that you can put in any card you want to use. And so this little insert can be obtained, and you can put that in any card you buy at Walmart or the Hallmark store. But in every case, you just fill out a little form here, send a check to the Gideons, and we'll place the Bibles for you. If you don't want to go through all that trouble, go online to www.gideons.org. You can do it with a credit card online. We'll pay for the stamp. Okay? You don't even have to pay for the stamp. We'll mail the card. The card is free. And the money, 100% of the money you give, goes to purchase and place Bibles. Well, let me ask you something. How many times does it take reading the Bible before you get saved? Well, Crusader Quarles, it took him 3 times. He was another young man in Battle Creek, Michigan, got involved in the drug culture in his hometown, and very soon he found himself in jail. Serrato found out that jail is a very boring place, and there wasn't much to do, so he was given a New Testament, provided by Gideon, paid for by a local church, and so he started to read it, and he was excited by it. But the truth, he read it didn't really convict him of anything, and when he was released from jail, he went back to the neighborhood and got into drugs again, and sure enough, he found himself back in jail for the second time. Again, he picked up that Testament, started reading it, but again, it had no real lasting impact on him. He was released, went back to his neighborhood, friends, drugs, found himself in jail for the third time. Again, he picked up that Testament and started reading it, but this time, God had a different plan. He touched his heart, led him to his son. He decided when he went home he was never going to do drugs again. When he's released, he changed neighborhoods, he changed friends, started going to church, and today he is a committed Christian serving in his local church. And he thanks God that he was patient and took multiple times to give him a copy of the Word of God. And how was that testament given? Maybe somebody sent a special day card, and Bibles were given and placed. A woman named Marta and her ill mother were traveling from Florida to Illinois for treatment. And when they got there, they stayed in a motel for over a month. Marta had brought a book with her. She was planning to read it while she was there. But one night she decided, you know, it's too shallow. I really need something a little more meat in it. So she picked up the Bible, placed in the hotel. Have you ever wondered, do people really read that Bible in the hotel? And they do. They do. You know, one of these Bibles, which only costs $5, has the potential to reach over 2,300 people in its expected 6-year lifespan in a hotel. Anyway, Marta opened it up and she came to the story of Joseph. She started reading it and she thought this was a great story. And it is a great story. And so she started reading more stories in the Bible. And as she was reading, she started to come under conviction of sin. She came to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, her and her mother were both unchurched people. But, you know, that Bible reading really made a difference in her life. So she went in the other room to tell her mother, and there she found her mother kneeling on the rug, praying for her. Little did she know that her mother had come to faith in Christ before the trip had begun, and she had been praying that Marta would be saved. Again, maybe that Bible was placed because somebody sent a praying for you card, and Bibles were placed. Can God change an angry heart? I think we know the answer to that question. Vinny DeSano was a Gideon in New Jersey and conducting a college distribution when a young man named Rob came up to him. And he was angry. He was angry that they were passing out these little green testaments on the campus and just wanted to have them leave. Well, Vinny tried to talk to him and give him some answers, but he really didn't want to listen. Vinny told him, you know, if you read this book, your life can be changed. He said, I'll take a copy so I can burn it. And off he went. The next year, Vinny was on the same college campus, and he was passing out testaments, and he noticed a young man standing off to the side. The young man came up and said, do you remember me? My name is Rob, and you gave me a testament last year. He said, I wanted to thank you, you know, for that testament, and, you know, I wanted to apologize for, giving you a hard time last year. And he said, I read that testament, and now I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. You know, that testament might have been given out because a church faithfully gave some money or used one of these Gideon cards? Is there any dark heart that God's word cannot touch? David Graham was raised in an agnostic family in Ohio. Both parents were otherwise good people. His mother was a nurse. His father was the chief of police. But throughout his early life, there was a lot of dysfunction in his family with chemical dependencies and alcohol abuse. Dave couldn't figure out life. You know, there were just too many disappointments, too many hurts. By the time he was a teenager, he was fully an atheist. By age 32, he was in the county jail facing 14 felony counts related to drugs and other things. You know, while he's in that jail, he was filled with hatred, and he rebelled against the prison authorities. He would scream and yell when they put the food through the slot. He'd pick it up and throw it back out. He'd call the guards vile names, you know, despicable names. One of the guards talked to the prison chaplain and said, "Hey, this guy's uncontrollable. Is there anything you can do?" The chaplain decided to call one of his friends who was a local Gideon. The guy got up in the middle of the night, came to the prison, went to the cell. And David heard the slot open. He was expecting more food. He was going to throw it out. Instead, he saw some knees lying on the ground, and this book slid underneath the food slot. David picked that book up and just threw it against the wall. He started cursing the God he didn't even believe in. But you know, God's Word has a life of its own, doesn't it? And pretty soon he was drawn to that Bible. He started reading it. He got to Luke 19:10. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And David thought, "That's me. I'm the lost." David began eating his food. He's reading that Bible. He started apologizing to the guards. He discovered he was a sinner and turned to Christ as his Savior. And God had great things in store for him. He was put on probation. He wasn't charged or convicted and put in prison. You know, he's in that prison cell. He had never prayed before in his life. He didn't know how to do it. But he just got down on one knee and just prayed to God, "If you're real, I need your salvation." And God saved him. When he got out of prison, he turned his life around, eventually married. He led his wife to Christ. They had a son. When his mother passed away, she put in her will that David would present the gospel at her funeral service to his agnostic and atheistic family. His father became a believer in Christ. You know, David would never have come to a church like this, or my church, or any church. He would never listen to a preacher on the street. If you had offered him a Bible on the street, he never would have accepted it. God put him in those circumstances where he was compelled to read his word. Again, that Bible's there because of a faithful church like this one that was willing to reach in his pocket and give some of its money, that Bibles would be available. Now I ask you, what can God do with a single testament? Have you ever thought about that? What is the impact of one of these? You know how much this costs? $1.40. So how much can $1.40 make a difference? Heriberto Tica was serving in a Roman Catholic church in the Philippines when a Gideon gave him a testament. And he started to read it. And he was miraculously saved. As he got older, he went to seminary, became a pastor. And his prayer to God was, "God, could you make my five sons a pastor?" And God answered that prayer in a marvelous way. Because he turned those five sons into pastors, and their 15 sons into pastors. And that family opened over 500 churches in the Philippines. All because of a single testament and the prayer of a faithful man. How enduring is the impact of the Word of God in the lives when you place a Gideon Bible? Recently, our former international president, Dennis Donnelly, was in a church, First Presbyterian Church in Hattiesville, Mississippi. And he was supposed to give a church report like I'm giving to you, and he was given 30 minutes. But when he showed up, he found out that a missionary from Malawi had arrived, and so he was only given 10 minutes. So the missionary started talking. He started talking about a man named Vernon Spencer, who was born in 1908. Vernon grew up in a family that moved around, and as a young man, he picked up the ukulele, and he wanted to have a career in music. When he got injured in Oklahoma in the oil fields, he moved to California to pursue his career. He met up with a couple guys, one named Leonard Sly and Bob Nolan, and they formed a group called the Pioneer Trio. Now, Leonard Sly decided that his name really wasn't good enough for show business, so what did he change it to? Anybody know? Roy Rogers. Roy Rogers. And Vernon changed his name to Tim Spencer. Now, they would travel around a lot, and Tim's life on the road was kind of like one of his songs. It was called Cigarettes, Whiskey, and Wild, Wild Women. He was a songwriter. He was married to a young woman named Velma, and she was really concerned about his lifestyle, and she was a Christian. She went to her pastor and said, "What can I do?" And he says, "Well, you can write him letters and put in scripture verses." So that's what she did. And every time on his itinerary, he'd arrive at a hotel, and there'd be a letter from Velma with a scripture verse in it. One day they got to Hazleton, Pennsylvania. This is 1949. Tim got the letter from Velma, opened it up, and read the scripture. And he was so moved by the scripture, he picked up that Bible placed in a hotel by the Gideons, provided by a local church. And he read that scripture in context, and his heart was changed, and he came to faith in Jesus Christ. He started a music company called Manna Music, and he published lots of songs, Christian and country songs. He helped Stuart Hine. Have you ever heard of Stuart Hine? If you look to page 2 in your hymnal, you'll see How Great Thou Art. Well, Tim Spencer helped Stuart Hine write that song and publish it. So he was saved in a hotel in 19... What's that got to do with Malawi? You know, this is a Malawi missionary. What's that ever got to do with something that happened in 1949? Well, the missionary said he'd been serving in Malawi for 19 years. Why? Because his grandfather, Tim Spencer, had picked up a hotel Bible, had come to faith, and told his grandson about Jesus Christ. Dr. Stephen Spencer is now the academic dean of the African Bible College in Lilongwe, Malawi. Isn't it amazing how people are still coming to Christ because of that one Bible being placed in a hotel in 1949 and reaching somebody? You know, it can truly be said that the sun never sets on the Gideon ministry. By God's grace, we are now located in 200 countries around the world. Just recently, the island of St. Martin in the Caribbean joined the Gideon ministry, opened up a camp down there. You know, the need for scriptures in these 200 countries is tremendous. Right now, our international headquarters is holding orders for over 19 million scriptures because the funds are not available. Who gets these Bibles and Testaments? Well, over 80% of them are given to school and college kids, the youth. Festus was a young secondary school kid in Nigeria. He was given a testament at school one day, but instead of using it, he ripped out the front page where it says, "Not for sale." He wasn't interested in the testament. He figured, why not make some money? And he sold it. So, as time went on, some years later, he was living a not-so-good life, and he traveled to Harcourt, Port Harcourt on the coast, checked into a hotel. He was involved in some evil business. And there on the nightstand was a Bible. He goes, oh, a Gideon Bible again. This time he felt compelled to read it. As he read it, he discovered that he was an enemy of God, and that troubled him deeply. As he read further, he learned there was a remedy for that enmity. He confessed his sins to God, turned to Jesus Christ that day, and went back home. He's a new creature in Christ. Now Festus serves in a local church and is thankful to God for the work of the church and the Gideon ministry. In Tangrieta, Benin, which is on the west coast of Africa, two brothers, Emil and Thomas, received the New Testament at their church, at their school. So they went down to the local church to talk to the pastor about this guy Jesus who is going to help them out, you know. But the pastor and his church members witnessed and ministered to these young boys, and they came to faith in Jesus Christ. As a result, their father, who was a witch doctor, also got interested in reading the Bible, was ministered by that church, and he was saved. And in fact, their whole family was saved as a result of that one testament. You know, as a result of that one testament and these boys being saved, the whole village notices that they're a different family than they used to be. In Russia, the head of a military base would not allow a scripture distribution to the Gideons. And they bugged him over and over and over again. Finally, he relented and said, "You can come, but you can't talk to anybody. You can just give out the Bibles, you can't talk." as they were passing out the scriptures, one of the soldiers standing there asked Gideon a question. How does one come to repentance? How do you repent? Well, Gideon explained it to him. And the guy said, I want to do that right now. And then he turned around and said, any of you guys want to repent today too? Half the men that were there repented of their sins and proclaimed their faith in Christ. In Venezuela, Gideon's distributed scriptures at the Maracaibo Police Military Training Facility. Afterwards, there were only 65 guys there, and they gave out the testimony. But afterwards, the head of the school called the Gideons into his office and said, tell me about this book that you're giving out. They led him through the sinner's prayer in the back of these little testaments. He proclaimed his faith in Christ right there in his office. Two others in the office also turned to Christ. In 2008, a Gideon in Hungary shared the gospel with the wife of a man he was buying a car from. And he gave her a New Testament. A few years later, this husband and wife showed up at a Gideon meeting. They wanted to be Gideons. It turns out their whole family had been saved as a result of receiving that testament. You know, I really want to thank Mount Calvary Community Church, not only for the friendliness and the joy I get from being here. This is a fun time. I always have fun when I come here. But you have been faithful to supporting our ministry here in Northern Virginia for many years. And I can tell you we're placing and distributing Bibles on your behalf and the behalf of other churches like yours. And why are we doing that? So that souls would be saved and come to faith in Christ and come into Christ's kingdom. So we'd ask you to pray that God would use His Word to save people. So keep that as a continual prayer in your heart, that God would continue to use these scriptures placed to reach the lost for Christ. Pray that God would continue to raise up faithful men from our congregations to be Gideons. Pray that churches like yours would be as generous as you are and give to the work of the ministry. You know, there are over 6 billion people on this planet, and we place less than 2 billion scriptures. There's a lot of work to be done. Another thing you can do is become a friend of the Gideons. We have a program we just started this year called the Friends of the Gideons. And you can access it. I only have one brochure. I should have brought a package of them. But you can go online, www.gideons.org/friends. And you can become a member of the Friends of the Gideons. And you can get news about the Gideons. You can get invited to special events and that sort of thing. And if you want, you can sign up for one-time or periodic contributions. There's no obligation to give, so you can be a friend whether you give or not, but there's not an opportunity to give. And again, we'll give you specific prayer needs and things like that. And if you want to provide scriptures, you can. You know, the scriptures end up in the most unlikely places. Gerardo Silva is the director of the Gideons in Colombia, South America. And he was going with a group of other Gideons through the jungle to this remote village to do a Bible distribution. Now, how many of you have heard of the FARC? The Armed Revolutionary Forces of Colombia. Okay, it's a guerrilla group, communist guerrilla group. It's been fighting the government for some 25, 30 years. As they were going down this country road, they were stopped by these soldiers. And what are you doing? What do you got? Got these Bibles. Where are you going with them? So the Gideons reach in the box and start handing out the scriptures to the soldiers that were present. And Gerardo, being a retired army colonel, looked at the leader and said, you know, you have no fear because you have that gun. But I have no fear because I have God's Word. And I would like to give a copy of God's Word to all of your soldiers. And the guy said, okay, you and one other guy will come with me to my camp and you'll pass out God's Word. So the FARC soldiers picked up about 400 scriptures, you know, and off they go through the woods. And they're tramping through the woods for a couple hours and they end up at this camp. And there's 400, 500 soldiers in there. Lines them all up. They pass out copies of God's Word. They present the gospel message. And then they turn around and get led back to where they started. About 6 months later, Gerardo was in a church giving a church report like this one in Colombia. And this young man came up to him. He says, I was in that camp when you gave that report. And I'll tell you that I was saved that day. And a whole bunch of my other soldiers were saved. About a year later, he was at the other end of the country from where that camp was, and there were over 50 young men in that church that had been in that camp and had heard the gospel and were saved. You never know. God is just so great in how He works. How many of you have heard of Rabbi Zacharias? Okay, he's a world-renowned Christian apologist and radio broadcaster. He spoke at our international convention in Los Angeles a few years ago, and he shocked the group. He grew up in India in a family that had generations of commitment to the Hindu religion. At an early age, he decided to search for spiritual truth, and he made that a focus of his life. He had a bad relationship with his father. His father never told him he loved him. And that and his search for spiritual truth and the realities of life really start getting him down. One of his friends committed suicide, and that got him down. So he decided he was going to commit suicide himself. He did, except he woke up in a hospital room. And there in that hospital room, a friend came and visited him and pointed out the Bible in the hospital room, and he picked it up and started reading. And for the first time in his life, Rabbi Zacharias learned the truth of the love of God and his grace and compassion. And there in that hospital room, he came to faith in Jesus Christ. As a result of that, Ravi would see his whole family come to faith, including his father. You know, now Ravi is preaching and reaching millions of people every year with books, radio broadcasts, podcasts, and with his unabashed defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'd like to conclude right now by saying somewhere in the world right now there's a young man like Ravi. Well, there's a young man like the others we talked about who have a great need for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Scriptures are being given out as we speak, 1.6 million every week. And only God knows what's going to happen with those scriptures. Only God knows. But we can be thankful that we have a small role to play in this as we help God spread his gospel throughout the world. Again, Pastor Wood, I want to thank you, and I want to thank Mount Calvary for your gracious hosting of us, and we just pray that our association will go on for many years to come.